جانم شکر بر دانش از که نگه که یه بسنم
دولا بیشه سانجه رو برا جو
سانجه که
دا سانجه جانم
شکر بر دانش از که Tâye yüce cebe sonun Dolu peşe sancı rupar Şu sancı çıtan
sancı çomanma
Şakü bardı dani şapsu ki Tâye yüce cebe sonun Dolu peşe sancı rupar Şu Olazı majuna gitadan yem besin ki tanji ji tendu. Tojala na me pa ya da wa zuge sanji ji kumbaru bu ji kenji to bra shagu. Te to bra shagu che to be kyoru bu ji senya be kono sanji ji semji. Se sembe kon sembre.
Let us all cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of altruistic motivation, we call bodhicitta motivation or bodhisattva's attitude that we should all participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us are interested in cultivating dharma or spirituality in order to bring about the fulfillment of temporary purpose of this life as well as the ultimate purpose of all our future
lives.
In other words, what I'm trying to get across to you is this, that all of us are same in that we want to be free from suffering and its causes. We don't want any kind of suffering as well as the causes which bring us pain and suffering. We are also same in that we want a lasting peace and happiness and the causes which can bring us lasting peace and happiness. And in order to fulfill these two types of wish, if you will, that we have, I believe that we are interested in cultivating spirituality, or we are interested in the spiritual development.
I
believe that if we reflect on our own life experiences or what we encounter in our everyday life, there are a lot of those things which are, so to speak, what we call manifest phenomena, or right in front of our eyes or under our nose. In other words, we go through a lot of difficulties and pains in our everyday life, and these are not something hidden or concealed or something secret or mystery from us. We experience good things in life as well as bad things or unwanted problems in our life. So what I feel is really important for us to consider is what are the causes which bring us both, you know, goodness in life as well as, bad things in our life.
다전도 정말로 라는 튕긴 좀바탄 조 정보에바다 된대기 진지 아니 정말 상도 왜스.
So do you think that the good things happening in our life, these are basically because of being with good companions or good friends?
다 근주 근주니 다 체인드 베이스 다 죽대버데 너네 기부데 대부 체인들 제부데 대부 영어데 주지 대버데 아니 신기 옛날에 사요레스.
Good friends and good companions, they are what we call good conditioning factors. They are not the real causes of the good things happening in our life. Or, you know, if we have certain amount of happiness in our life, it's not because of them so much. Yes, they have provided favorable conditions, but the real underlying cause of our happiness or the goodness in our life is basically positive karmic actions or the good karmas that we ourselves create and accumulate, you know, in relation to other people and other sentient beings.
Sansa ta karles na kande chebres na anes rang shewang hama sinji yin ne si pam ne ba ne ne ba ri zu pam ane pemba de devi ri kan du tu she sheba ti ta ra de bu ji wen yo tsawa saben tsawa ta res.
The main karmic, or the main, how should I say, metaphorically speaking, the seeds which ripen and bring goodness in our life, which includes happiness, I believe are the positive actions that we ourselves did in our previous lives. In our previous lives, that we abandoned harming others, or we, we did not hurt or harm others, but we engaged in beneficial actions, actions which would promote the betterment of others or benefit others. So as a result of those karmas that we ourselves created in our past lives, I believe that we experience, all the good things in our life.
Mm-hmm.
所以，我们在龙穴当，龙穴当，对不对？就用金的吧，金龙穴当，做的，等等用的，就是，但，等于做的那个么多，对对，经济时间的吧，差不多也是。So what I'm trying to explain here are these two things. What are the primary causes of the things going well in our life? And what are the primary causes of things going wrong in our life? And what are the conditioning factors? Okay, so the Tibetan terms we use is yu is the primary cause and kien would be the conditioning factors. Okay. Yes, good friends, good companions, maybe good environment, good location. Yes, these are contributing factors. We call conditioning factors, but these aren't the real. These are not the real causes of things, good things happening in our life. But the real causes of all those good things, all the bad things for that matter, happening in our life are the good and bad karmic actions that we ourselves have created and accumulated. Having said that, I must also clarify this point, that those good conditioning factors are also the result of good karmas that we have created. It's not like the conditioning factors happen just by chance or random, just out of fluke, somehow these good favorable conditions pop up. That's not what it is. Yes, these favorable conditioning factors are also related with the good things we ourselves did.
Sendele rang tol ani mendu per dunghe ta ne dunghe ne ga nar ne ki me chi ba de ku cha wa ta ta ni ga pen jungwe jungwe chin ki rang mendu ba shon ta ani yan ne ne ba ta pre ta t 근데 그 다음 망부지가 문의 망부지 용구 알아봤어. 제가 된주 중사대야 진짜 가라냈어. 그래서 진 인도신 장통한테도 왔을 때.
So we face a lot of difficulties and problems in our life. You know, many forms of problems, as a matter of fact. I mean, we suffer from all different kinds of illnesses or sickness, or maybe the problems are due to what we call natural disasters. Maybe it's because of the, you know, destruction by fire, or destruction by floods of the water, or destruction by tornadoes or the winds, whatever the case may be, you know. So what are the real causes, you know, with regard to our experience of difficulties, you know, within those situations or environments? So we believe that, so, you know, sufferings that we experience under those different circumstances are basically because of negative karmas or harmful actions that we ourselves performed and accumulated in the past lives, in relation to other sentient beings, because we harmed them, because we destroyed things belonging to them and so forth. So as a result, now we experience difficulties in our life, and they may manifest in the forms of natural calamities. So what I'm really trying to get across to you is this, that, you know, in an ordinary sense, we might attribute our suffering to those as if the external factors, because of the floods, because of the tornadoes, because of, I don't know, you know, something happened in the nature that basically has destroyed our lives and property and all those things. But underneath it all, yes, those are unfavorable conditioning factors. But the real cause of suffering that we experience under those different conditions or circumstances is basically the negative karmic actions, which include harming others, that we ourselves did, you know, in the past. So because we seek happiness, we seek goodness, we seek well-being, therefore we must not harm or do anything that hurts or harms others, because these harmful actions bring, you know, the negative results that we don't want. And because we want you know, happiness in our life, peace in our life, we want happiness in others' life, peace in others' life. So what we really need to learn to do is to cultivate love and compassion and altruism. So out of these positive states of mind or attitudes, we should try to help others, benefit others, do the things which are beneficial to others. It is very clearly stated in the Bodhisattva literatures that it's because of our own self-centeredness, you know, selfishness and self-cherishing attitude, in Tibetan called Rang Chinzin, cherishing one's and like crazy, anything. And because of this cherishing attitude, you know, we do a lot of negative things. So in order to make the self happy, we go to the extent of doing the things which may harm others or it do harm others, and we don't care. So as we create negative karmic actions, and under the influence of self-cherishing attitude, selfishness, self-centeredness, then what do we get in return, if you ask, is the problems and pains, because negative karmic actions never ever bring goodness in life. So now if we want to change our life around, so to speak, if we want to really completely transform ourselves, we really want happiness, peace and goodness in life, then we need to bring about inner transformation or changes within ourselves. Now we need to let go that cherishing attitude, self-cherishing attitude, and replace it by the attitude of cherishing others. We should learn to cherish others, love others, care for others, and be altruistic. So these attitudes, the noble thought of cherishing others, it is the source of happiness. If we all take time and consider our actions in everyday life, or a lot of the actions we have performed in our life, find out how at the deep down we are grounded in our self-cherishing attitude. Because self is the most important, it is, more important than anything else. And so we cherish it like anything. So in order to fulfill the needs and the interests of the self, then we go to the extent of doing the things which involve a lot of negativity. So okay, if it means that the self should be happy, then we go and kill somebody else, another human being or another animal or whatever it is. Okay, in order to make oneself happy, we go and steal things from others, and in order to make ourselves happy, we indulge in sexual misconduct, adultery, and in order to make us happy, we lie and cheat and deceive and do all sort of things. So basically, deep down, what really makes us do all those negative things is because of that self-centeredness and self-cherishing attitude. Because self is the most important thing in our world system, right? In our mentality world system. And so that is, as the self-cherishing attitude dominates us, so actions we perform are all geared towards making it happy, So that's our
problem.
Of course, we have many forms of delusion or negative emotions inside our mind, but at the really root level, bottom, deepest level, so the root delusion is the self-cherishing attitude. So we need to make efforts to uproot it, to get rid of from our system. Hypothetically speaking, because we don't have that situation, let's assume that everybody in our world or the universe does not have self-cherishing attitude, but everybody has this altruistic attitude, then we will not have all these problems that we do have in our world, killing each other, the wars, and all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of negative actions that we witness in our world will not be there. Well, why do enlightened beings Oh, for that matter, you see, you know, those who are on a very high level of realization, why don't they suffer like us? You know, it's because they do not have the self-centeredness that we do. Okay, they have let go. They have changed their attitude. So that brought about that inner transformation. So as a result, so they do not encounter a lot of the problems and difficulties that we face in our life.
Ani ki debo de kibo ta sanji kompa thaya ka san ta na tar ye ke pran zin bi kin zin te ran jul shia bi na ti tho ne lam ti tho ne ni maran sul tan ah ta tu ta de ne debo de kibo yin ya te sanji kompa tho gure
sa. So if we consider complete enlightenment as our ultimate spiritual goal. In other words, we want to be completely enlightened beings. And by definition, completely enlightened meaning that we do not have any kind of negative emotions or delusions, deluded states of mind. They are all gone for good and ever. And but we have all the, you know, the positive qualities that exist, you know, ontologically speaking. And so if you do want to be in that kind of a state, then what we really need to do is learn to cultivate the altruistic attitude of cherishing others, so that we are able to work with our own mind and get rid of all the delusions within our own mind. Because our goal is to separate our mind completely from delusions, from negative emotions. So as we learn to do that, as we go through this process of getting rid of delusions, you know, we find peace, more happiness, and that's how we find ourselves progressing towards our ultimate spiritual destination, which is Buddhahood or complete enlightened state. So spirituality consists of a spiritual path that we want to follow, or it also involves all kinds of practices, you know, that will help us to grow spiritually. So we need to educate ourselves about spiritual practice and spirituality. But once we learn about essential points of spirituality and practice, then we are the ones who need to cultivate spirituality in our mind. We are the ones who need to do the practice. We cannot entrust in others to do the practice for us. You know, we cannot, assign others, like, you know, can you do that for me? Okay, because I'm kind of busy. It doesn't work that way. You see, one has to do the practice oneself.
So
we emphasize a lot, you know, to cultivate love and compassion in our everyday life. I mean, to the extent we cultivate love and compassion in our life, you know, we find ourselves not doing anything that is harmful and hurting others. You know, because when you love someone and when you really feel compassion for someone, these attitudes, you know, stop us from harming others. Okay? So as we cultivate love and compassion and don't harm others, but, you know, we do things which are helpful to others, so due to all these factors, you know, love, compassion, the positive actions we do, that we find the peace, happiness, and the good things that we are seeking in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in our everyday life, we should learn to look at everybody, all sentient beings, from positive perspective and angle. You know, do not try to look at others from the wrong angle or try to find faults in others. So that when we see good things in others, when we look from, so to speak, a right angle, a positive angle, then we do find goodness in others, and that helps us to respect, you know, other people and other sentient beings.
That the ignorant someone look send jaya kiring thing at our shoki at the humans.
So that's my prelude for all of us, including myself, before I go back to the text, which is called Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices.
Tal ane ane dutang nyeme nale tras rengi dovis ali kecho ajige ane kyo ajige ane dovishane sabzatile ane psum dutang nyeme nale shivin bas te tengi dovis.
So going back to where we left off last week, so Adisha was once again requested to give, so to speak, his parting instruction, because he was about, you know, he was planning to, you know, go back to India, and so the Tibetan king Phalama Chamdubhe requested him for one more teaching. Although Adisha said, you know, I have given everything, that should be enough, but he said, you know, just please one more time. And so Adisha, talked about three key points, and I hope you remember them.
Mm-hmm.
So take a moment to reflect on those points. Of course, I mean, if you're new here today, right, then, you know, of course, there's nothing to reflect on. You didn't hear what the three points were, right?
Ani sanji matoji pada ani tu tereng ni zonte sanji matoji pada ani susu ani ki ta giwi kingi tengu res kana sumas.
So the first key point, Adisha. Now, Adisha is a great Indian master who visited Tibet in the 11th century, by the way, for the new people, in the footnote. And he said, until, oh friends, until you reach complete enlightened state, that means you yourself become a Buddha, you know, you need to cultivate a guru, lama, Tibetan word is, or spiritual mentor or guide. And then Adisha also said you should cultivate Shinyin Thamba, means sublime or authentic spiritual guru, not like anybody who is called guru or claimed to be guru, but authentic or sublime guru, lama, meaning that, you know, who can really show you, teach you the complete structure of the path, you know, unmistakably, and the complete structure of the path that leads to the where you want to go, complete enlightened state. So you need to rely upon that kind of spiritual teacher.
Tati lamru ta nyungin so ta lamru na le hinyi tenpi penyu ma tenpi nyemi tenzi lo pi nyemi ta tenzi ngi tenzi chuye ba sara ta gudas te.
So those of you who have received the Lamrim teachings, teaching on the stages of path enlightenment, and so now you need to bring from that Lamrim teaching here the benefits of cultivating spiritual guru, or proper relationship with spiritual guru, and the disadvantages of not cultivating spiritual guru, and the disadvantages of wrongly cultivating spiritual guru, or you make some, you know, terrible mistakes along the way. So now those are the relevant points here which you need to bring from Lamrim teaching to sort of augment the statement being made here. And then the second point is,
I forgot, what is that?
So what was the second point?
That nimbati imbas. Ani nilu matopada ani. That tism chevres. Chevres sam. Nilu siyati. Takachik. Ani nilu basung sumas. Ani tism.
the second point Adisha met was until you realize the, you know, what we call realities, the ultimate nature, you need to, get a guru's instruction, you know, continuously.
Ati nilu matoba che thangi je nilu tartoba ki matoba de sung sung ya da da ga je nilu to me to ni to ba sung sung men dus che thangi je nilu tartoba mato je pad ane to je che res no sung ka na sung.
So what does this mean? Until you realize the nilu, which we could translate as ultimate nature or reality, one need to continuously listen to the instructions or the teachings of the gurus. Here, the ultimate nature does not simply refer to the realization of emptiness, which we usually consider as the ultimate nature of phenomena, right? Because emptiness, what does it mean? It means the way in which everything actually exists. It is the final mode of the existence of things or phenomena. Yeah. But here it doesn't mean that. It means more than that. What it really means is until you realize everything that is there to be realized about phenomena. Okay, so that's more than just realizing emptiness. So basically what this means is not only we listen to or receive teachings or instructions on, you know, ultimate nature, but we also need to contemplate the meaning of the teachings. We need to meditate on. Remember, we always emphasize the need to bring these three things together: listening to teaching, contemplation, and meditation. So we need to adopt that threefold approach, you know, to engage in the spirituality. So what I just said is actually it comes in the third key point Adisha met. He said, you know, it's not just enough to understand Dharma because you got to put it into practice, right? So that's why it's not enough to have Dharma education or traditionally speaking listening to teaching, but we need to contemplate the meaning, we need to meditate on the ascertained meaning of the teaching. So that's where the practice comes into play. So what can we take away from this is, like, if you really want the results, you know, we can sort of like, you know, I want the outcome, you know, I want to gain something out of spirituality. Well, then here it says it's not enough to know about Dharma, it's not enough to recite the Dharma or do Dharma chanting or do prayers. You know, it's not enough just to recite the Dharma text, and you know, that's not enough.
That kari purushana tandala sanu tawne
So what we really need to do is we need to do contemplation, samadhi, we need to do meditation. Okay, so that's why often we talk about the development of three types of wisdom. Wisdom that arises from listening to teaching, or wisdom that comes from education, to use a modern word. Then the wisdom that arises from the contemplation, which is the higher level. Not only you know something intellectually, but you deeply think about the matter. Right? So there's a wisdom arising from contemplation. Then you go higher up, which gives to the wisdom arising through meditational practice. Now you start to gain realizations. So without practice, there's no meditation. Okay? So that's why it's really important for us to integrate those three things. You know, listening,
contemplation and meditation.
Mm. So I just want to remind once again here, as I often do, that you know, some people might get into this mode of thinking that, you know what, well, if I recite all kinds of mantras, because they're supposed to be very powerful and, you know, kind of a mystic, and so then that will do it, you know, then I will be, you know, evolved spiritually higher and higher. Well, I do not want, you know, mean to undermine the mantra recitation, its importance. Well, there's some benefit if you recite mantras, but in order to get the real benefit of the mantra recitation is we have to understand what the mantras mean, you know, what is the meaning of the things you are saying, you know, and then you need to meditate and cultivate insight into those meaning of the mantras. So we must all really sort of basically memorize what Adisha's key points are. So basically he is giving everything in outline form, you know. And we, of course, you know, he based everything on the Lamrim teachings. But now he's synthesizing everything and basically fleshing out, you might say, highlighting what are the key points. And it's important for us to really have them in our mind. Well, of course, it is important for us to remember the words or the statements or the sentences, because we do need to rely on words and the sentence to form the meaning of the concept, right? And so the words and the statements are more like the reminder that will help us to remember, to reflect upon what the actual meaning is.
Ming mabu chin duwa sing rasa. Ta ming te chus chus yor ni ta gan shi zdan mi. Ming mabu te zu se ta ni de shi ya te. Ko ten da ko ya chi chi de wa ko ten ko chi de wa shi.
I mean, all kinds of terms and the words and you know, the categories and the divisions we create in any field, including Dharma, is basically for us to be able to capture certain concepts, you know.
But in Chudasana,
The great Indian master Acharya Dharmakirti said that the use of the terms and the languages is to be able to, you know, get at the meaning behind, you know, the words and the statements. So now we will continue with the key points that Adisha is laying out. So we will have, you know, explain a few more, and Sala requests you to pay good attention, because next week I might ask you again.
Rang simle ni ta simle ni si ati rang singu thola ati ani migivi le saya ke ani samu tindi tindi yungya ke tan jin yungu du na an tele se ni ta rung pa tang si si nyebu si jiwa maris.
Next, Adisha says that one should keep at distance, literally translating, objects which are harmful to one's mind. So meaning that, you know, there are those objective conditions or objects or the factors, if those things are going to make us think negatively, you know, or have negative experience of emotion and so forth, then we should keep those things at a distance, you know, stay away. You know, it's just from them.
Yeah. I think Namjin Zoyunar Sang Yaris. The Kya Shivu Yurtan, Hidan Shivu Yurtan, and the Chazu Shivu Yu, Tenzu Yorvas, Tenzu the Pajang Rinsjin, Pilzu Mavishin Shavuris.
Great Indian Master Acharya Vasubandhu, in his Treasury of Knowledge or Abhidhamma course, talks about things like how we need to stay away from objects which could produce all forms of delusions in our mind. And as Gajala was trying to remember from the text, he says, you know, we should keep at distance objects which could give rise to attachment, lust, you know, grasping in our mind. We should keep away from objects which could make us angry, go like an upset and, you know, hate like anything. We should keep ourselves away from objects which will make us jealous and envious of, you know, things and others.
So that is it. You know, he says that that is your marriage. But the time was here, my two, till the only big car is over there. That is the your marriage.
So what does it mean that keep those objects at distance does not mean that we should now cultivate some kind of a negative attitude and perception, you know, to these objects, like, okay, I hate those objects. Not that. Just keep distance, you know, just not like now we started to hate the objects of attachment, objects of hatred and everything, you know, that is defeating the purpose. Just keep them at a distance, just, you know, as if we have no involvement, nothing to do with those objects.
Now
it is like, you know, sometimes when we keep the objects at a distance, then we do not have any involvement with them, so we don't have any good and bad feelings or, you know, related with those objects. It's just like, you know, we travel away from a certain country or places, right? As we move to another different places, then those places are gone away, and sometimes we really don't have any good or bad feeling about those places we have been already. So Adisha says that literally, keep at distance the objects which are harmful to your mind, and always stay near, you know, those, you know, objects of being in the environment location where your positive actions will flourish. You know, so that means keep closer to the objects which will help you to do positive things, or be even in an environment or a situation where the practice or the virtues flourish. So now you might ask this question, right? Okay, so what about my workplace? You know, I need to go to work, right? And so maybe sometimes my workplace is the problem where I have, you know, that's where something is harming my mind, you know, I'm not happy, or, you know, I'm getting, you know, weird or whatever it is. You know. So what do we do now? So, I mean, in that sense, here is, again, we are talking about our way of thinking, you know, how we can mentally keep the things at distance, not necessarily physically. It doesn't mean, okay, now you should not go to work anymore, you know. Well, physically you're going to be there, you are just in the workplace or at it or whatever it is, but mentally you can still, you know, keep things at a distance which are harmful to your mind. But then also, like, when you kind of do this practice, like your practice and keep the things which harm your mind or, you know, at a distance, that does not mean now you have to keep silence at the workplace and not to communicate with anyone. It's like, you know, I'm at a distance of all this thing. No, just be normal. You can communicate to your friends and co-workers, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, I mean, you need to, I mean, socialize with your co-workers or the friends. You need to talk with them about your work or the tasks, you know, you're involved with, you know, anything, you get things done. But in your mind, you know, you can, you know, keep the things at distance which are, how to say, harmful to your mind. You know, otherwise it would be very difficult, right? Sometimes we are in quite a situation, we don't have a much choice, you see, physically. Just, you know, we are either locked in or we are right there or whatever it is. And so it seems like we have no freedom at all, you know, to think the way we want. So I'm here, like, we're talking about a mind training, certain kind of attitude that we can develop inside.
No, I think that's it. 네, 근데 샤브기나 파츠나 다 랑 아니 게웨 쇼테니 페용 그레스.
So you keep the objects which are harmful to the mind at a distance, mentally, more so, and then we try to, you know, stay closer to those objects or in an environment which really facilitate or flourish our virtues. Well, then we could make a good progress spiritually.
I can do it. 된다 기인바. No.
So that's the new key point. We're continuing with Adisha's key point instruction. So it says, stay away, keep a distance, objects harmful to the mind, and stay closer to where your virtues flourish. And the next point, Adisha says, first let me literally translate what he said. He said, until you gain stability, hustle and bustle could be harmful to you, and so you should, cultivate solitude or be in a solitude. Okay, now what does the stability mean here? The stability has to do with our state of mind. Okay, so once we gain the stability of the mind, meaning that we are not easily distracted by negativities, you know, not attracted by them, we have that stability of the mind, then it's different. Maybe hustle and bustle around us may not harm us. But until then, all those hustle and bustle things, you know, busyness, happening around us could be harmful to us. The Tibetan term dunzi, which could literally be translated as busyness, not business, again, or hustle and bustle, as I said, it could be understood in two different ways.
Hustle is bustle. Funny, you see. Bustle is bustle. Okay. So that same the courage was not same number of membership. Number two, one mambo to you, yes, sir. Majin would remember change your mind. Didn't ever say any. Same the number of membership.
So one way of understanding, isolating from busyness or hustle and bustle is that to do it mentally. So that means we should not entertain all kinds of thoughts in our mind, what we call the discursive thoughts. We are churning out all kinds of ideas and thoughts and, you know, just going crazy in our mind. Okay, so that is being very busy, you know, inside. So we need to isolate ourselves, our mind, from that kind of busyness.
Okay. Then, same nanto tata, lun dunzi sirizani, that chonzo mambosheni, dancing jason of Tendita, Biscolutas of Tendita, cover party tonya that any mambosheni, then the Emma Mabuji Petisheva Tirta, lun dunzi, that lun dunzi.
And another understanding of isolating from busyness or hustle and bustle is to, in terms of like a physical isolation, where, as you heard Kishore use some of the English words, like, you know, if we are one of those like party animals, you know, need to go to every party that exists or every dance and every, you know, theatrical performances, our body is very busy. Because we're always in the crowd, we're always with, you know, so that's being very busy physically, in a, you know, physical busyness. It really is a hustle and bustle, isn't it? So we need to isolate, you know, ourselves physically from that kind of a busyness.
Oh, yeah. But these any rank, children, no younger, thing in the same Nanto town, Lindsay, in the rank, same children, no younger.
So being physically busy like that, that kind of a physical busyness or hustle and bustle and mental hustle and bustle, those are detrimental to spiritual development. Okay, if we are busy like that physically and mentally, then, you know, as we can see, you know, how do we cultivate spirituality?
Solitary to look at is Wimbashini. Wimbash is that only part in the town. And John Jonshin on my division, Teleparent and Susupe, Naturalism and Dratak, Kevnan in a Tata Pugnal Day in a Karina, Busi Devres, Kanagura.
So he says, well, then, you know, you should cultivate, be in a solitude, in a forest, in a solitary forest or in a deep forest, you know, where you find a solitude, so do your practice there. So solitude, the Tibetan word Wemba, which is translated as solitude, the understanding is a place that's peaceful, far away from towns and cities, you know, that's the understanding of a solitude.
But when you turn it in a susu and is sim not dota lund the embers in susu nala devina, but they embatta chaggers.
So, what I just said is a kind of a generic understanding or explanation statement. What it means, like, go into a forest, find a solitude, and do your practice there. Okay. But, you know, but we can also find solitude where we are. You know, if we physically isolate ourselves from the crowds, being in our own nice place, home, okay, and mentally isolate ourselves from discursive thoughts and, you know, busy thinking about, you know, in anything that goes under the blue sky, then we could still be in a solitude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible that somebody might have the luxury or whatever conditions to go into the deep forest, stay in a solitude. It looks like you're really far away. You're physically isolated from hustle and bustle kind of life, and which seems everybody's really great. But mentally, is thinking about what everybody else is doing in the cities and the towns. So I'm so busy, you know, I'm counting that. So that is really doesn't work at all, right? So the mind has become very discursive and very, you know, hustle and bustle.
Sometimes, nambi ki yores dubai dubai yor ma dubai la ani ta du tham ji chen ba sin ta dubai jabu ti jebu ga ani ani telephone se ni chen ba res du tham ji chen ba se ta ta ma ko sa che tem bo ta ji ta min chen bo chi chen ta ta ya du dubai ko ni se ni ya nang ji de ta tham ba nang ji be ji ma nang ji de ni ya ni na ko ra ta bo tem bo ki wi cha de Yes, a little sooner.
Yes. Let me tell you a story to kind of substantiate my point here. This is a story about these two personalities, Bhutanese, you know, Bhutan kingdom. Once there was somebody who was called Duk Thamjai Khenpa, very well known. Thamjai Khenpa means, you know, one who knows everything, omniscient one. And was very highly regarded in Bhutan, you know, because almost like, you know, king even respected that person. Then there was this another one who was more like
his brother.
His brother is called Drupa Prinle. I think you have excused me somewhere. There should be translated from the divine madman, you know, Drupa Prinle. So he was highly realized, but he looked so ordinary and humble and down to earth, you know, pretty much like, you know, if you allow me, just like street person, but highly realized.
Okay. And
So they were brothers, you know, the Drupa Tamsa Khenpa and the Drupa Khunle. So what Drupa Khunle was found doing all the time was he would go to bed real early, then he won't get up, you know, he will get up late, very late, you know, during the day. You know, he was practically just sleeping, you know, day and night. Whereas his brother, he would get up really early in the morning and he would do his meditation, chanting prayer. And so their mom once kind of told Drupa Khunle, you know, aren't you ashamed of yourself? Like, you know, you are just sleeping like anything. Look at your brother who gets up early morning, do the meditation, do the chanting and everything. You're sleeping all, you know, all the time.
Then, Quran that Drupa Khunle amal sukhibri. Amal.
And then Drupa Khunle told his mom, you know, mom, you want to know the truth? I don't think my brother was really meditating. He was very busy going to the markets and, you know, thinking about what materials to buy, build a house and construct a building and all that. He wasn't really meditating. So then the mom went to the other son and said, you know what? I saw you, you got up really early morning as you always do this morning. You're doing your meditation and practice, you know. Then I told Drupa Khunle, your brother, but he said you were not meditating. You were just busy going to the market and buying things, you know, to build house. So what is that? What is going on?
Then he says, "Look, thank you. Oh, the Quran, Punjab, some of the hardest. Come on. Then I talk about that. You get from the scene, you get just some courses. Come back, just some courses. Then it's some way."
So then the other brother, Drupa Tamsa Khenpa, he admitted to his mom. He said, "You know, I think Drupa Khunle was very right. You know, this morning, you know, I just, you know, in my mind, I was very busy thinking about going to the market and, you know, buying things to build a house." So.
Yes. That being a duty, so she does in the Sankana Yan Zunipe Zupote Asylate, same the Kabayan Judina, Yahweh Martin and Chagres.
So the point we are making here that we should learn from here is, you know, even if one, you know, physically isolate from all the busyness and everything and stay very nicely and, you know, in a meditation, but if the mind is so busy like that, then that's not good at all. Right. So it's like as Geshe-la was trying to demonstrate, like, you know, you really try to sit in a very nice meditation posture, right? Some people really like that, you know. But what really thinking about is, what do these other people around me think about me, you know? Do they really think I'm a good, you know, meditator or not? Then it doesn't work, see? And I'm like, oh, this is getting too long. When does this really finish, you know, this session? This is right, you know?
Sometimes they do cannot wait. They do like that. So
what Adisha said was that it is very important for us to isolate our mind, you know, from you know, discursive thoughts and being busy churning out the thoughts, and we should physically isolate ourselves from the the hustle and bustle kind of activities of life.
Ta wen ba se tre yang yin do was. Pe ta ren bun ren ki da ta ren bun ma shin ne ko rang ge sem de da gu tam ni. Pe wen ba ren ten ten yin do was.
So the Tibetan word wenba, which literally means isolation, that could be understood in two ways, right? You could, you know, physically move into isolation, right, in a solitude and quiet place, or you could be where you are, but you could still isolate yourself from busyness. See? So that is also wenba. You are in a solitude, we could say that.
Olas, ta ji rang xiong yi, ta ni ni re sa shuwa, ta yang ji xiong yi nisi, ta ka re sa ji bu de, ta ni ri sunba de, ta ni ki sunba de. Nyamus jewe, drop bonus. Ta rangi rangi la ni nyamus ye ke drop kandi kini tapi bangres.
Maybe I'll do one more. And then Adi Sayo goes on to say, you should abandon, literally translating here, friends which generate delusions.
Ti kare se na. Kinju yinyi ke dusung dowa, tsuyi man yi zhe le nyo mo jun tsangwa yin si, tsuyi man yi pe yi zhe yi la shepa, tsuyi man yi pe yi la shepa te, ane nyo mo ju xe ya ke ju tsangwa go, sonca tene sonca ane nyo mo xe ya ke, xe sa ke yi dro de pa bang si.
So literally what is said here, he says, you know, abandon our friends giving rise to delusions. Now what that really means is, as great Indian master Acharya Vasubandhu again states in his Treasure of Knowledge, and this is quoted the lines from his memory, he said that we need, the friend here is understanding is that which really is a source of delusions. You know, that is a friend which gives rise to delusion, so we need to get rid of that. What is that source? In the Treasure of Knowledge, he used the term called Chumin Yije, inappropriate mental approach. Okay, so when we have that inappropriate mental approach, you know, thing, then that gives rise to delusions, deluded thoughts.
Taiyan de nyumuse ve tropon se ate sinji peta give up chena divya ma kare se sinji sem gonji gomke ina sinji sem ro jelu sinji ina sinji tamji la ani ma ki bi pota tsawa ki bu so se ti chen ma bu ta.
So abandoned friends give rise to delusions does not mean anything to do with the sentient beings. Okay, now you feel like, okay, I cannot go with those sentient beings, give up sentient beings, as you heard Geshe-la say that. Because that would be totally against our Bodhisattva's attitude and practice. Because the Bodhisattva's attitude is to cherish all sentient beings, and altruistically. So sentient beings are very precious. As a matter of fact, we have to learn to love and care for sentient beings just the way a mom cares so much for her only child, you know. So we need to learn to love and care for sentient beings that much. So how can we really abandon sentient beings? Because that would be totally against Bodhisattva's attitude and practice.
Nyamushe tropons to the point current pansana susuke jile nyamushe ake yiyamate pangurmato tele mi pe hingi tan shambat zu ponj mebarte.
So what basically means, like, we should abandon the objects or the bases which give rise to delusions in our mind. So in the case of the sentient beings, you know, if they're acting as a as a basis or the object for delusions, then we have to keep that at a distance. But in our heart, we still need to love them. We need to have compassion for them. We cannot give them up completely.
No, no, that can do it. That. Ti kare se nyamu se cho pon la pon se ta genpe cho ten te sem sung se rang rang ju la ni gewa pe ka cho ki ta cho ro ten ta rang ngun ni ne cho ro ani gewa pe ka ni cho ro na an te ten go rais te den ta te den tan ro ba shi cho pe te da ten se ta ni a te tan ro ni ani te sem sung se and the type same masaba shini any kar se unta kaji te men ro same zoom sen
same masaba sen ni
ta same de ta ani
kali te se ne
ta yi te se ta.
And so this is the part of the same statement. He says, you know, abandon friends giving rise to delusions, but cultivate virtuous friends, friends which give rise to virtue, and you should trust them. So in other words, that we should cultivate the spiritual friends and the virtuous friends, you know, as we hang out with them, you know, that helps us to, you know, to create more virtue. And so we should cultivate them and, you know, trust Dharma friends, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Tāt tē ālī tāng tēng kī tēng tēng kāng kēs, sūrā sū ān tāng tā tēng yāng kēs sūm dū sī nā mā hū yēs, sūm bū tī sāng tāng kēs.
So I only, you know, gone through three more key points of Adisha, and so we should all, you know, give thoughts to them.
Tāt tē shī ānī ārī?
Pūshō kēn chāngchū chūm bēk āmālā shī mī mōdhā
mā,
dī tō ālī ā, mēng āyī vṛdō, kūmā jīm chūnā. First I want to announce that next Sunday I won't be here because I have to go to teach in Mexico. But Venerable Tenzin Kaju, we call her Anila, who's behind me, she will be teaching here. Okay.
Shanta, that when is in the Nanzu the two thinking the Gansal case that you are Maris? Here you will treat the candidate of Tangres.
I also want to clarify one thing here, that those of us who seek spirituality, we must not be too much, dependent on the person who is teaching the Dharma, sort of external considerations, you know, what he or she look like or whatever. But what's really more important is what is being taught, okay? Mm. So the teaching is more important than the teacher or the person.
Mm. 참참 카시가잖아 이 최등기 아니 이 잡아려고 된다 라비 때 초가시 최기는 잡아시 다 된대기는 된대에는 최기인가다 다 된대면은 이 최양다 뭐 신이 이 다 아 머리기는 아니 양 카시 양 마요도 들으시니 시주어 말았어.
You know, the things that, you know, sometimes, you know, people have different attitudes, you know, and perceptions. You know, some people, you know, they somehow like to listen to teachings if the teachers are monastics or the monks and nuns, you know. But if the teachers are sort of lay people, then they, you know, don't feel like that's something important. But what's really important is the teaching that's being given, which we need to investigate. And if somebody is giving authentic teaching, that's more important than what, you know, he or she look like or who he or she, you know, is. Or some other times people are maybe more comfortable with a particular gender teacher, you know, and not with another kind of gender teacher. So, you know, I mean, those things are, we need to think about.
Mm.
And in the Dharma, we talk about four types of reliances, you know, and four types of things that we should not rely upon. And what are the four things we should rely upon? So there are eight of them.
Mm.
One must not rely upon don't rely on a person but on the teaching. Don't rely on the sensory consciousnesses but rely on mental consciousness. Don't rely on that which is interpretable meaning, but rely on that which is a definitive meaning. And then another one is don't rely on the words, but rely on the meaning. So those are the four types of reliance we talk about.
Yes.
So what I mean is, like, if a teenager has a very profound thing to say or meaningful thing to say, not necessarily profound, but then as Geshe-la was trying to say, we just bow down to that, you know, teenager, and we have to listen.
Yang tabu tengki ti gue beres. Tisu tembi ini tengaran so, kimi tembi ini, coba tembi, pugu inci tembi ini, su tembi ini, pe bangku sih bukti, si yang bukti bukti, cuit tembi ini, mana gue beres ini lain beres teng.
So the young power, if somebody has the perfect thing to teach us, you know, authentic, then it doesn't matter, you know, what gender, you know, gender has no, nothing to do with it. It could be a man or a woman, it could be old or a young, it could be a teenager, it could be even a street person, homeless one. Yeah. It has something really, you know, a thing which is correct and, you know, authentic to say, then we got to listen.
Yes. Chede yang tapi je sanjik jomdi ni mah jiba kita ti yang tapi je ni apa tu gue beres tapi acam beres tu si tuang tu tahu beres.
So in the case of Buddha Dharma, Buddha's teaching, you know, it has to be something that has, authentically transmitted and taught from Shakyamuni Buddha onward, right? If somebody can do that authentic teaching, then it doesn't matter who he or she is, you know.
Sometimes, ngan dosa orang kata, kadina, dari cangkup mari, ani yusa thavale, seluruh cinc cewekina, ani, dewa ani le yubina, seransu yon tuhne yonggul tak, yonne apa ya, sana.
So sometimes I have to go to other places to teach, and if Venerable Tenzin Kaji is here, I always ask her to replace me and teach. You know, if you have for time, you know, you're able to come, so I'd encourage you to come to the teachings. And if Anala is not here, sometimes, you know, I have someone here visiting me and who I can trust, you know, to teach, then I will, you know, have that person teach so that you could come and listen to teaching. Catherine Brunner, 83 years old, is very sick and she is in hospital. And prayers have been requested, you know, for her. Well, maybe I could say that this is the mother of Venerable Monk Changchub Chöbo, you know, John Bruno, probably you know him. And his mom is very ill.
Yeah, it's very dangerous and very difficult. So.
Because we have got just one request and a name here, but we should also think about many others in a similar situation in any part of the world. There must be thousands and thousands, you know, like her. And so we send our prayers and good wishes that they, you know, hopefully they're able to recover from the sickness. Let us dedicate our collective merit for the flourishing of Dharma the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy beings from different traditions live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and may beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our merit, positive energy for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly. Okay, I'll share Tibetan culture. You don't have to prostrate today. You can say prostrations for Geshe-la safe return from Mexico.
Okay. See you Sunday. Okay.